When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I've said in other places that a thing I like to keep in mind about my work is that, and when I say my work, I mean the body of work that I've made over the last however many years, old stuff, new stuff, is that there's always somebody new coming to your work. And even if it's old stuff and you look back and groan on it, somebody new could be getting something totally fresh out of that old work. Even though you've put it, past yourself, you're beyond it, you've moved on. Somebody's discovering that for the first time, and they may be responding very positively to it. Another way to put this is there's always a bigger fish, which means there's always a smaller fish. So this is some language I like to use in my classrooms to assuage the fears of starting amongst my students. It's that, yeah, the stuff probably isn't going to be as good as stuff you do 5 years from now. That's the way it should be. But here's the thing. The stuff you do now could still find an audience somehow. Somebody's going to find the good thing in there. And when you go back and look at your old stuff, you find some things where it's, hey, look at that. The kid was onto something here. There was something smart going on there. Even if all these other things are wrong, there's a few good things in there. But this is to preface something that I've been kind of wrangling with over the last year. Respecting one's work. Respecting one's work, what does that mean? Well, to go back to my preface and to expand on it a little bit, because I've been thinking about this really hard, is a lot of us look back on our old stuff and groan. And so the next question is, why do we do that? I think part of this comes out of the fact that a lot of us, myself included, have an erroneous sense that it's somehow humble to put down your old work, to look back at a bad hairstyle and go, oh, what was I thinking? Because after all, it's not, you know, the us then isn't as good as the us now, which, you know, let's extend that logic. That means the us tomorrow is going to look back on the us now and go, ugh, right? So it could be that you're improving and you're seeing the improvement in the work by comparison with looking at your old less good work. It may be that it represents a creative period we no longer agree with, right? This is going back to the former you. You know, in my youth, I was really a wild child, let it all hang out. I just, you know, expressed myself freely, unedited. And then as I got older, I got a little bit more withdrawn. Now I look back going like, oh, why was I, you know, doing those diary comics where I was talking about all my problems with my girlfriend or something along those lines, right? There's a period that you were experiencing when you were creating the old work. There was a viewpoint that you had that you no longer agree with. You're a different person now. Life had its way with you. or it could be something where you have bad memories associated with the work, right? It's like you're going through a bad period, a divorce, a death in the family, some kind of horrible thing was going on that affected the work. And now that you've coped and moved on from that period, all that happens whenever you look back on that is you just can't help but make associations. Music does this to us, right? Some song we listened to when we fell in love, or some song we listened to a lot when we had a breakup, it's always tied into that memory now. So you can't help but associate it, right? So there's a lot of reasons. I'm not going to try to throw a blanket reason on why we look back on our old stuff and groan. But what I am going to dig at is why, or a way to think about it, to where if we do groan, let's keep it under our hats a little bit. Because I had an experience recently where I was talking with somebody who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. I love a thing that they made, a work that they made. And I was very excited to tell them about how positively their work affected my life. Well, it turned out that this was some older thing of theirs. And when I told them how much I was enjoying this thing and how positively it affected my life, I saw them go, oh, that thing. And it deflated the whole moment. You know, because however they felt about it, I got something positive out of the work. And I was trying to share that with the creator. And they chose that moment to say, oh, yeah, I'm so past that. I'm so beyond that. I can't believe people even bring it up anymore. They didn't say it like that. They didn't say those words, but that was part of the subtext of that moment, which really bummed me out. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized this was an opportunity for them, that this moment, this connection was an opportunity for me, the participant, the audience, the constituency, to feel more connected to them, to feel like I have skin in their game, to feel like by expressing how much benefit I got out of their work and being able to tell them that we've all been here, right? We all have that person or celebrity or creator that we have just a huge amount of respect for, and we just want them to know. I mean, even I get emails like this. Even I get an email every once in a while from somebody saying like, hey, this thing you did really had a profound positive effect on me, and I just wanted to let you know. It's not even where they're saying like, hey, will you look at my portfolio, give me some tips. It's just like, it's a simple email where they don't even link back to themselves. They just say, I just wanted to let you know, you know? And I think there's something in us, us weird mammals, that makes us want to have that connection with somebody who had a profound positive influence on us. And this was that moment where I could have felt like, if I had a moment where I felt like I made an impression on this person in whatever way, even if it was just to make him feel happy for a moment. Like, for instance, I met Rob Paulsen. Rob Paulsen, by the way, does an amazing podcast, which I'll link to in the show notes. I better write it down. Rob Paulsen, voice actor, Animaniacs, anybody? He also played a whole bunch of Sunbow characters. I met him at a Comic-Con years ago, and I didn't want anything signed. I didn't have anything for him to sign. I just stood in line to tell him, you know, how much I enjoyed his work. And then he, you know, whether he was acting or not, the man's an actor. He could have been acting, but he, you know, he seemed very touched by my words and said, you know, you made my heart smile today. I'll never forget that, because whether or not he was acting, it was a moment where I had the impression that I made an impression on him. And I care a lot more about whether his projects succeed or fail. So when he started a podcast where he's interviewing other voice actors, oh man, not only did I subscribe, but I was tweeting about it and posting it in other social media to say, hey, check out this thing, right? That was the moment that I had with this person where they said, oh, that old thing, right? And as I decode this and try to make sense of what's going on there and how I want to approach things differently when the opportunity is presented to me, where somebody comes up to me and says a nice thing about something I did, it occurs to me that it comes down a little bit to respecting the work. To bolster my point, I read an essay, rather some excerpts from essays on the Brain Pickings website. I don't know if any of you guys follow Brain Picker on Twitter or on any of the other social media sites. Brain Pickings is sort of like, what do they call those, curated content sites, where she scours the internet for interesting stuff and posts it. So probably, like, I would say 8 times out of 10, I'm not terribly interested in what she's posting, but those other 2 times, they're great things that I, you know, bookmark in my Evernote and on Pocket and on pinboard.in. But she did a post, let's see, how long ago is this? This was, really? Was this May 21st, 2012? Wow, this is an old one. I guess I've been thinking about this for some time. She posted about Joan Didion, I guess, has a collection of essays, and she took some excerpts out of that. And I thought that this particular excerpt is applicable to what I'm talking about here. I'm going to talk about respecting the work. Now, she's talking about self-respect, but let's just consider this in terms of respecting one's work as well. I'm going to read this now, this excerpt from Joan Didion. To do without self-respect, on the other hand, is to be an unwilling audience to one of the interminable To do without self-respect, on the other hand, is to be an unwilling audience of one to an interminable documentary that deals with one's failings, both real and imagined, with fresh footage spliced in for every screening. There's the glass you broke in anger. There's the hurt on X's face. Watch now, this next scene, the night Y came back from Houston. See how you muff this one. To live without self-respect is to lie awake some night beyond the reach of warm milk, and sleeping the one sleeping hand on the coverlet, counting up the sins of commissions and omission, the trusts betrayed, the promises subtly broken, the gifts irrevocably wasted through sloth or cowardice or carelessness. However long we postpone it, we eventually lie down alone in that notoriously uncomfortable bed, the one we make ourselves. Whether or not we sleep in it depends, of course, on whether or not we respect ourselves. Right now, this is, you know, this is another way of saying, and I can't remember who I can attribute this to, but I've heard Merlin Mann quote this thing, you know, the top 10 playlist of your greatest failures, right? When we look back on the old work, we see the flaws and we're groaning over the flaws. We're recounting our failures. Now, this is not to say that self-respect means that all you do is focus on the successes, but respect means that you live with it as part of your biography for better or worse, whether it was the best you could do or not at the time, right? We could say, and hopefully we can say that, well, it was the best I could do at the time, right? Even if you can do better now, or if you're in a different place now, or if you're experimenting with totally different things now. Maybe you even gave up the vocation. Maybe this is like, oh, I was a musician, now I'm a movie maker or something. But that's part of your biography. And I think that respecting it means that you are atoned with it. You're okay with it. Warts and all, it's part of the biography. And if somebody comes up to you to say, boy, this really connected with me, this is an opportunity for you to make a connection with a constituency to say, yeah, and I'm doing new stuff too, rather than turn them away, make them feel dumb for liking the thing that you did. That's the outward benefit of respecting the work. But I also think respecting the work means that you're going to feel better about the work you're creating now with the wider understanding that it's going to get better and you're going to look back on this and see the flaws. But as long as you're putting the best that you got into it now out of a sense of respect to the fact that this is going to be part of your permanent record, so to speak, I think it would make the process of making stuff a lot more endurable and pleasant and enjoyable. And I can say for myself, I got my share of projects in my biography that I look back on and go, oof, boy, the kid didn't know what he was doing there. Or, whoa, what was I thinking? My head was in a completely different place. That was an erroneous point. That was some flawed logic going on there. But I've had people come up and say, that thing you did a long time ago was really cool. And I think it would be disrespectful to the work and to the person who was responding to it. I mean, there's always exceptions to this. Like if you did stuff that was like outright hate, like hate material, like propaganda, trying to make people feel really, really badly about other people, and you wanted to wash that away, or you don't want to respond to that constituency. I could see that. I think that's an exception to this thing. But I think for the most part, what most of us do is we look back on some early work and roll our eyes at it. And I think it's okay to do that for ourselves as a reminder of, yeah, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. But I don't think it's real humility to do that. I don't think that this is us not being a big shot about it. I think that you can respond to that old work and say, it was the best I could do at the time. And if it makes somebody happy, then, oh man, I'm so glad it did. I'm so glad that old stuff I did made you happy. But I think it's ultimately not very productive for us to keep harping on what was wrong with it, especially when somebody's responding positively to it. I mean, and if somebody does come up and they say to me like, oh, that one thing you did, not so good, I'll be glad to say, yeah, you know what? It really wasn't, but hopefully I got better. Anyway, that's how I've reconciled this whole thing to try to keep myself buoyant. So there's our essay for this particular Thunder Punch Daily. I've got some news that I want to throw on the tail end. I'm going to do an experiment, everybody. Thank you to everybody who sent nice messages to me about the return of the Thunder Punch Daily show. It meant a lot to know, because I didn't really publicize it. I think I posted something on Google Plus, but that was it. So I didn't make a whole lot of noise about the return of the show, just partially because I didn't want to do a whole big fanfare thing, but also because I was curious, like, did anybody even miss it? You know, I got a few messages from people, but we'll see. And I got a bunch of really nice things from you guys that meant a lot. It's really cool to hear that people enjoy hearing me, you know, overthink this stuff. So to that end, I want to try an experiment with this Gumroad thing. Gumroad is this service through which you can sell digital goods Lots of people sell digital comics on there. I actually sell a couple digital comics on there. But I'm going to do a couple of more in-depth, sort of more polished essays. More of like the kind of essays I use in my classrooms. Here's an example of a lecture I give in my classrooms that I am recording as a TP extra, Thunder Punch extra. And I've got one on Gumroad now. And that's at gum.co/TPDE1. Or you can just go to the show notes for this episode, comicsaregreat.com/TPD148. And you can get the link there. Now, it's a paid thing. It's a premium show. It's an extra show for money. I got the price set for $1, but you can pay whatever you want, $1 and up, whatever you think the show is worth. This will be a way for people who really enjoy this thing to give me a tip, put some skin in the game. This is what we were talking about, skin in the game earlier. And in thanks for that, and in thanks for supporting the show, you get an extra show that nobody else gets, right? The TP extras. And this first one concerns itself with, the title was Flipping Weakness, and I examine a beloved episode of the Transformers series where they take a character and they present his convictions as a weakness and then show later on the episode that his convictions are a strength. And it really is a little mini lecture on Rule 6 of Pixar's 22 rules of storytelling, of phenomenal storytelling. Rule 6, which is, what is your character good at, comfortable with? Throw the polar opposite at them, challenge them, and how do they deal with it? So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, again, you can go to the show notes for this episode and you can pay whatever you think it's worth, or you could just throw in $1 and you get an extra thing. And then I thank you for supporting my efforts to keep coming up with these kinds of thoughts and essays. So with that said, I will get out of here now. So who am I? Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, Jersey on Twitter, Jersey Drozd on Google+. That's probably one of the best ways to get in touch with me. I check Google+ frequently. So if you want to message me there, you can just do plus Jersey Drozd and it'll be shared only with me and you can share your thoughts, especially if you contribute to the Thunder Punch extras. I want to treat that as a way to hear from people who are really interested in this kind of stuff. And I'll take extra care to hear what you guys are more interested in for future essays. You want to throw questions at me for consideration, be glad to hear them. So I guess there's nothing left to say, but I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
Today, He-Man had to decide whether or not to chop down a tree. Now, the trees around you probably don't speak the way Sky Tree did. Or if they do, we haven't learned to hear them yet. But trees are living things. And when you respect a tree, you show that you care about all life. Life is a wonderful, precious gift. Learn to enjoy and respect it, and you'll be a happier, better person for it. Bye for now.